Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Or just follow us.
Or both.
Twitter is at TNT Radio Empire. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Here's my first question for Doc Mina. Yale rescinds admission of student whose family paid $1.2 million to get her in. And we're going to ask
they left on their own?
I didn't read the story. I'm just asking Dr. Mina what her parents paid to get you into Yale. Oh.
So this is a question that actually got me very upset. I think Todd was the one who said, did I have any sugar daddy who helped me get into Yale? And I think I actually screamed at this computer, what the fresh hell are you talking about?
So, and you didn't say fresh hell either. You didn't say fresh hell.
So just as a reminder, my parents immigrated here with two suitcases each, and that was all. They didn't know anyone in Omaha. They just got job offers. They're doctors. And they certainly didn't know anyone who could pull strings for them. They hadn't even been to Yale before I actually got into it.
So you went and studied. You studied your ass off and got in that way, right?
Right. And they never donated because they didn't have enough money to donate.
And I understand that there are many people who get into school the way you did.
Well, so I also want to say that, you know, my parents didn't think that I was that bright. They were a little worried about my chances of getting into college full stop, so they didn't even donate anywhere because they were just sort of waiting to see what happened.
Man, your parents are harsh, man. You got accepted to what? Didn't you accept pretty much every Ivy League school you applied to?
I did, but it was a complete surprise to them. It really was.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it was a complete surprise.
But I think people are now
them.
Under the mistaken impression that everybody who goes to a USC and
well,
Ivy League
are.
School.
People, aren't paying, people don't know how to read.
Well, no, right. They think that their parents bribed their way in somehow.
Exactly.
And no, there's a lot of people. In fact, most of campus earned their way onto your
school.
Nice school.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, there were certainly I got in because I was lucky. I mean, it is still luck. Even if you took out everyone who parents know someone or their siblings went there or they're very rich and famous, there's still so many kids applying to college who are bright and amazing. And, and it comes down to a numbers game eventually because there's only a limited number of spots that they can offer.
Crush the narrative that if you're white, you don't stand a chance?
Oh, shut up.
Oh, my God.
There's probably a lot of white people on campus, aren't there?
Oh. There were a lot of white
check
people.
Out Yale's, check out Yale's basketball team.
And their baseball team.
And their baseball team. And their football team.
And every other team that they have.
A lot of white dudes.
But there were certainly people on campus that I know were exceedingly wealthy, that their parents had donated, that their siblings or their parents had gone there. And there were very famous people who were there, too. I mean, in my college, Sarah Gilbert was there right after I left. I think Claire Danes came. I mean, there were very famous people there. They were still very smart people.
They were smart. I mentioned that yesterday. A lot of those actresses might have got in, helped a little bit. They had a famous name because Yale wants famous students. But they also had to do the coursework to get in, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
But I will say that this scandal is very offensive to anyone who is legitimately trying to navigate college because there are, and I run a summer program now for college students, there are brilliant people out there who qualify for admission, but logistics, money, opportunity may not be available and they lose out. And this is a slap to their face. And it's really awful. It really is awful.
It is,
But I was very lucky.
Well, you're smart, too. You were smart, too. Yeah, you are. You're still smart, right? That's right.
No. Yeah, sometimes. I'm very, very stupid, and I'm a moron. But once in a while, I have a flash of brilliance, we'll say.
Now yell at us what we talk about.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
We had some questions earlier today. You probably haven't caught up on those.
No, I haven't caught on those.
You can get back to us on those later.
Well, the first question that came right after I hung up the phone last time I talked to you was, what is worse, Dr. Mina, crack or cocaine?
Right.
And I have to say,
one is worse.
None of them's good, but one's worse.
Come on, one's worse, right?
When I actually went to try and do a little bit of research on this, my computer started opening up with these screens saying, do you need help? Do you need help? Would you like to talk to someone? Do you need some help? And I was like, no, I just want to read a little bit more about this. So, first of all, they are both not safe. I do not recommend that anybody does any of these.
Either way.
So I think that the correct answer, though, is that crack cocaine is probably a little bit more dangerous because there's no uniform percentage of cocaine relative to the other things that are mixed
into it. Yeah, I was right.
Yeah, there's no set formula.
So coke up.
But no.
I was just looking at somebody else.
But a lot of times you don't know how pure the cocaine is.
True.
I was just going to say, the newer thing, the newer problem with cocaine is that it is now often also being cut with other drugs, most recently fentanyl, and that's causing a very high number of people overdoses and lethal ingestions. So it's exceedingly hard to say that one of them is safer than the other. The real issue is that probably you need to have all the phone numbers that popped up on my screen if you're looking this up.
Now, I watched the movie The Dirt from Motley Crue, the Motley Crue story, and at one scene, Vince Neil's character, well, Vince Neil, I should say, snorts a line of what he thinks is coke, and Nikki Sixx didn't tell him it was smack instead. That's got to be worse, snorting smack over what's worse, smack or crack?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, first of all, those are the nicknames of my two best friends in college. But
Smack and crack.
Smack boy and crack boy.
Yeah. Isn't that the stuff that stopped Uma Thurman's heart?
Right.
Pulp Fiction?
Right.
When I think about these drugs, I see the bad outcomes that happen with people in the hospital, but one thing that's probably the most dangerous is just not knowing what percentage
what's
it
in
is
it now.
What's cut in it.
Yeah, this movie takes place in the mid-80s, so they knew it was...
Yeah, and I'm not sure that heroin is as prone to being cut with other things, but I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm just saying to people that watch The Dirt, if you're young, don't try
it. But it is very addictive. It is very addictive.
Oh, yeah, it is, yeah.
How did he not kill himself by snorting heroin?
Well, they were snorting it.
Okay.
They were snorting it, but he didn't know. He thought it was coke.
But I didn't think you could snort it in the quantity that you could cocaine.
Well, they just snorted a line. Oh. I mean, Nikki Sixx died from heroin, shooting up heroin for a second there. You can't.
Well, maybe it wasn't.
In this scene, it wasn't as pure.
In this scene,
he snorts it and he goes, "Oh, what the hell?" And he starts to puke a little bit. And he's pissed off. You know, that's it. That's how it ends.
Yeah, that's not how it ends.
It's also in the '80s too, so I'm sure it wasn't as pure as it is now. You know?
It ends with me cracking your ribs, and we have to put a breathing tube into your mouth.
All right. Don't ruin the movie.
So then there was a question about, can you get anaphylaxis if your partner ate peanut butter? And then I think you had sex, and could you have an allergic reaction to other bodily fluids if your partner had ate peanut butter?
Because the story was that this woman had picked up an allergy because...
I'll hang on a second, because I got this clip here,
What is semen?
Right there.
There you go.
Yes, and then this, I do want to pick up at the end, because Todd quickly turn this into, you just sit in the corner and chew on a condom while I take care of myself. And I just want to say, kids, that's not how you use condoms. Please don't chew on them under any circumstances.
I don't remember
whether
any
or not Todd
I
asked
I kind of remember that. Yeah. Bad advice, I agree.
I do remember you sitting in the corner and chewing on a condom, but aside from that.
That was last night. That was yesterday.
I don't remember that either.
Yeah, of course. Because you snorted that heroin, that's why.
Right. So I looked into this very as deeply as I possibly could, but it's very hard to find actual cases.
Guy eats a peanut butter sandwich. She ingests some of his fluids, obviously, without being too graphic,
and that happens. It's very anecdotal. There may be three case reports of this happening.
I love that you had to type that in somewhere.
Are you more likely to get a reaction if the guy ate some peanut butter and the allergic chick kissed him?
Well, yeah, it's right
That has absolutely been studied. So they actually did a study of what is the time course of peanut butter in the saliva after you've actually eaten it. So 87% is undetectable after 1 hour. That is not safe for someone who's truly allergic to peanut butter, though. 100% was undetectable after 3 hours and the person eating another meal that had no nuts, no peanuts in it. So what they concluded was that immediately brushing your teeth or rinsing out your mouth or chewing gum, not effective. You can actually make somebody sick if you were to kiss them and you had had peanut butter in your mouth. The best option, wait 3 to 4 hours, eat another meal before you try to kiss them, and that's the best way to clean out that peanut butter from your saliva. So it sticks around in your saliva for a while.
I would think if you're involved with somebody with that particular affliction, you just wouldn't have peanut butter.
Yes.
He wouldn't care. Give me a kiss.
Right. One of my best friends is allergic to peanuts, and basically nobody in her family, her three kids and her husband, have basically just given up peanuts.
But she has to carry
an EpiPen.
Tom would call him a pussy and give him a kiss.
I would just get out of that relationship. Yeah. To me, that's a deal breaker.
What, leave your kids?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're just awful. Yeah. That's awful.
Once they become allergic to peanuts, I got nothing to do with them. Right. I'm done with them.
Oh, I'm sure you won't say that if that happens to your grandson. Yeah. I'm 100% sure.
Oh, I think so.
He dumped a kid, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's abandoned before.
He abandoned before, grandkids.
You don't know me.
I forgot about that kid.
I forgot about that kid. We didn't.
And then the last story that had happened before the break, and like I said, I'm not completely caught up from yesterday, was a story about being fatter is better if you have a stroke. And I want to urge a lot of caution
here. I remember that story. We talked about that?
You're more likely to survive a stroke if you're a fat ass.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right.
No, you're not. Well, okay. So first of all, you are more likely to get a stroke.
Fat ass?
I believe that is.
That is the medical term when I walk out of the office.
So what you're saying is there are more people who survive a stroke as fat asses because you're more likely to get a stroke if you're a fat ass.
Well, so that's one way of looking at it.
No.
You are definitely more likely to get a stroke if you are overweight or obese. There's a clear association between heart disease and stroke and obesity. But then what they found is that people who were obese had a less chance of dying in the first 3 months following having had a stroke than those who were normal weight or underweight.
Is it because they're fat? Yeah. They can live off their fat or something?
No. So that is what it's really unclear. This is just a single study, and they found this association. It doesn't tell you why. There are a lot of theories about this. So one might be that you have more energy stored in your fat cells so that you can go through the physical therapy, the occupational therapy, and all the recovery, like all of the post-recovery that occurs from a stroke, and survive it a little bit better. It may be that thinner patients have different types of strokes that are more serious, or that being underweight is actually associated with some other type of frailty that makes it harder for you to recover from something as life-threatening as a stroke. So it doesn't say why. It just says that they saw this association, and it points to we need more studies to look at this. Definitely still, you don't want to get a stroke in the first place, so better to not be overweight or obese. Because your risk increases. You can avoid all of the stroke stuff if you're not obese.
There was another story just came out. We were worried about Todd because a woman did some sort of yoga pose and ripped her carotid artery and had a stroke.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it happened just in the news like the last couple of days. But it's a pose that Todd doesn't do. He sticks with downward dog.
Sounds like kind of a freak accident.
Yeah, but you
can. Oh, that probably was.
She stretched too much and stretched an artery.
Yeah, it was a handstand. It was a weird shaped handstand, and
that Todd doesn't do.
Tore a carotid artery.
Yeah. That is, I've never heard of that happening from yoga. That is a very that's
be
awful.
Careful out
that's
there.
Just awful. Yeah. So one last thing I wanted to talk about. I said I'm not caught up, but I did want to talk a little quickly about healthcare and some stuff that's going on in the last 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. The Trump administration says he wants to get rid of the entire Affordable Care Act.
The DOJ, on behalf of the current administration, filed a motion last night saying they want the whole Affordable Care Act to be thrown out, including pre-existing condition protection.
Great.
Meanwhile, today, I think today, the House Democrats are going to propose a measure to improve the Affordable Care Act. Some of the things they're going to do is remove some of the glitches that made it harder for families to get coverage, remove the caps on subsidies, restore the reimbursement payments to health insurance that participates in the Affordable Care Act, improve the subsidy formula so that folks who need subsidies can get them, restore all the navigator assistance to people to help you get enrolled, make protections of essential health benefits stronger, put back in regulations of junk plans, and let states roll out innovation programs and their own exchanges that are state-specific.
And yep, that won't go any further than the House.
Are you forgetting something?
What?
You're forgetting something.
And I'm
replace,
sorry.
It'll be replaced by something tremendous.
Oh, Trump's
oh,
got
no,
nothing.
No, this is the House,
they got
the House
right.
Democrats.
Mean the,
this is the House Democrats.
You mean the Republicans, right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, it'll be replaced by something tremendous. No,
nothing.
They have nothing. They have nothing.
I want you to be more positive.
I got mine. Screw you. That's all they care
tremendous.
About.
So, something
I never understood why people are against health care.
Tremendous. Tremendous. Remember,
it'll
be tremendous. Tremendous.
Yep.
Just keep telling yourself.
I just want to, as a reminder, I am talking
he had
to
both
a
houses.
Number of
people. He had both houses and himself for 2 years and didn't do anything.
Tremendous.
They didn't do dick, right?
They didn't have a plan. Yeah. They did not have
a plan.
But as a reminder, I'm talking to a fair number of people who are directly or indirectly affected by recent flooding in the Midwest. These are people who've lost their homes, their
Petey's
jobs,
right
and they have lost
You're
their
right.
medications
right.
or medical supplies. The very last thing you folks need is the threat of losing your health insurance or having a local hospital close or not having any access to any type of health care should some kind of emergency occur that makes you or your loved ones sick. So, again, this is we've got upcoming elections. This is really, really important. This affects millions of people across the country. This vast difference between one side that wants to try and make this more robust and expand the healthcare and one side that is trying to scrap it completely and has no replacement whatsoever.
None.
I cannot urge people enough to pay attention. I will tweet out some stuff, but if you have questions, please reach out because I'd be happy to talk to you about what this means. As a reminder, also in Nebraska specifically, Medicaid expansion, they're supposed to have a plan by April 1st. They haven't proposed a plan yet for how they're going to do this. And if you would like to submit a comment to Nebraska Appleseed, they are collecting comments to send to the state legislature.
Yeah, that was voted in, but the thumb still doesn't want
They haven't
right?
done anything yet. They haven't moved on it yet. And this would help a ton of people who are hurt or sick or who have lost everything. This could really help a lot of
Screw
these
em.
People who don't have health insurance to begin with.
Screw them.
And by the way, for those of you who have health insurance, expanding Medicaid would lower your premium. So it helps you. It helps you, too.
First of all, nobody believes that anything is going down in price.
Yeah. Give people health care. Give people health care.
Well,
I've got no issue with that.
Right. Of course you
don't.
The studies actually show that it does. It will reduce the premiums for people. Now, it may reduce the rise that would normally occur. It would keep them from increasing three times as much. But it will actually reduce that by expanding Medicaid. It's just math, really.
How's life? Everything good? Are you busy?
Very, very busy.
Yeah, you're always busy.
Very busy. I hear about this mythical thing called spring break. I have yet to experience this in many
years.
Yeah,
it's overrated. It's overrated. Don't worry about it.
I think the last time I had spring break was in college, to be completely honest. I don't think I've had a spring break since then.
It's overrated.
All right. It's great to have you guys back.
Love you, Doc.
Love you guys.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Mina. Follow her at Dr. Mina. We'll tweet out some of her stuff she says. But you can follow her directly, too, by the way, if you care about health care. And she's the expert on our show, but that doesn't, you know.
Low
she
bar.
She is the expert.
Well, she is. But
low
she knows
bar.
She's talking about, you know. But not the – I can talk to somebody in the hallway. I would disagree with her. Has no expertise whatsoever. So it's crazy. It's just crazy.
Out of Arnold, Missouri, KMOV is reporting about the a little incident at the Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
Hey, by the way, where most athletes work.
Okay.
I'm reminded of that watching the NCAA. Yeah. Most of those people are not going to be in the
going
NBA.
Going pro in something else.
That's why those guys on the end of the bench, when they're crying, like, man, I'm going to have to work at Enterprise now. Damn, man, we lost.
Most of them have to work at Enterprise.
I'm going to Enterprise.
Oh, and, man, man.
And all the four white guys at the end are definitely working at Enterprise.
Oh, man, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Like, no, man.
Unless we're watching Iowa, then it's the four white guys who are starters.
Oh, that's right, right.
Yeah. I think I'd have a better acceptance of that term if they put the athlete first, athlete students, because they're athletes first. Most of those guys.
Well, they don't want to admit that.
In their head. The stars are, yeah.
They're
yeah.
athlete students.
I didn't come to play school.
The stars are. But, you know, you can't, a lot of them, you know. That Yale team was a couple points away from advancing. They're students. You can't get in.
Yeah, for sure.
Without passing the coursework there.
So out of Arnold, Missouri, at the Enterprise Rent-A-Car, you may want to work with this guy, this 19-year-old kid. A couple employees became dizzy and shaky.
In the morning.
Thank you.
Damn, nice.
I like those guys.
That's been this show. That's been this show.
That has been this show.
Time to time.
I do like dizzy and shaky.
They were dizzy and shaky, and they didn't know why.
Yeah. I know why, usually.
They were taken to an urgent care center and transferred to the hospital. Officers questioned a 19-year-old male employee. He admitted to putting LSD.
Oh,
into the water bottles of two co-workers and a third employee's coffee cup.
Man, Enterprise
police said
is crazy.
The man told them he did it because his fellow employees had, quote, negative energy.
Man. Dude.
Man, I rent from Enterprise when I'm get those vans to drive up to watch Penn State, and I was at Enterprise in November in my hometown, and everybody there was like 23 years old. Mm-hmm. Maybe the manager might have been 28 or something like that. All good dudes, but I'm thinking this is exactly what would happen in an office where everybody is a 23-year-old dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Did you ask them where they played ball?
I wanted to, but what? I'm guessing that question has been asked a lot.
You basketball know? At Shippensburg. He had football at Millersville. And you were on the track team at
one of the kids asked. One of the kids asked Ryder if he goes to Penn State.
Yeah.
Screw that kid.
There you go, Puss. Thank you.
God.
and Ryder goes, no, I'm in eighth grade.
Screw that kid.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Please take a second to tell us how much you like the podcast.
And don't forget to comment.
Thanks again. On to the next podcast episode.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.